Now, guys, Puck Off fans, I love fantasy football. And I decided to check out the weekly leagues because I was always wondering, you know, what is weekly leagues about? So I checked out FanDuel.com. They're the leader in 1 week fantasy football leagues, and they pay out real money, not like points or, you know, you get gear. Like, it's money, cash money, Holmes. So every week you can win cash. It's immediate payouts. You can set your lineup every week. You don't have to, like, you know, you get a team and you're stuck with it all year. No, this happens every week. So it's like, you know, the best thing about fantasy football is drafting. You draft every week. And it's not like season long, you're not stuck with the same team. You even play week 14, week 10, and that's it. Move along. You say you're busy 1 week, you don't have to worry about it. And the fees start at only $1. You can join up for $1. And FanDuel's big time, guys. They pay out $400 million each year. $400 million. Jeez, they're huge. So what you want to do, if you're going to do this, FanDuel's sweet. I'll be doing it. I'm sure the Captain Frazier will be doing it. Is you go to FanDuel.com and you click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use the code PUCK. And for people who use the code PUCK, P-U-C-K, they will match your bidding. They will match your deposit. They'll match it. That's pretty crazy, Scott. They're going to match it up to $200. So you bet $200, you make $400. I love Scott. He gives me the math. Oh, man, that's great. He's the best producer there is. But, yeah, so you can go as low as a dollar. They'll give you two. So that's great. So, I mean, I'm going to do it. It's like every week, who doesn't have a dollar to put on fantasy football to possibly make two? They're going to match it. So remember, go to FanDuel.com, just how it sounds, FanDuel.com, play weekly fantasy football, click the corner right where on the microphone and put in PUCK, and they'll double your money, and then you can come buy me some beers when you're in L.A. So thank you very much, FanDuel.com, for supporting us. And remember, you get a new team every season. Thanks for listening, guys. Everybody, welcome to Puck Off. This is Joe Bartnick. The captain, Frazier Smith, is a healthy scratch today. He's in Vegas. Lucky him, kind of, because usually it's always lucky him to be in Vegas. But today we have an extra special guest. In comedy, as you guys know, probably hearing us talk, or at least me talk and Frazier, sometimes good things just happen and boom, it's magic and it's amazing. Well, Friday night I was sitting in traffic just about to be like, oh man, how am I ever going to make the show? I was going to the Whiskey to see the guys on That Metal Show, you know, Don Jameson, Jim Florentine, and Eddie Trunk. And of course, probably most of you guys are in the metal. And I got to open for that show. It was, I mean, hell, I played the Whiskey. Didn't have the greatest set in the world, but I got to play the Whiskey. So it was amazing. And just in the room happened to be Brian Slagle. Now, think, oh, who's Brian Slagle? Well, basically, he's the guy who invented, founded, owns Metal Blade Records. So that means everything to me, because when I was like 12 or 13, there was like six metal bands. We loved them all, you know, Priest, Maiden, AC/DC, Sabbath. And then, boom, I was looking in the back of Circus, and it's like, there's a band called, like, Metallica? You can order them? And then you get Kill 'Em All, and it's like, it's the greatest thing you've ever heard. So welcome to the show, Brian Slagle, and thanks for a medal. And, oh, even better is, the guy loves hockey. Even better is, his favorite team's the Penguins. So we have
him. It all works out.
Is that amazing, though? You love the Penguins.
Yes. Growing up in L.A., I love the Penguins.
Wow. Everyone listening knows my mistress team is the Kings.
Yes.
But you were just a Penguins fan before the Kings.
Yeah, you know, well, the Kings were terrible, of course, for many, 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 many years.
Yes.
And so were the Penguins, actually. But
yeah, well, yes.
They were really bad, too. But when I was when I was a little kid, like 4 or 5 years old, I was really into Penguins for some reason. And when I found out there was a hockey team named the Penguins, that was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. So I just kind of watched them from there on out. And they became my favorite team. And then they got Mario Lemieux and Yager and everybody. And then it really stepped up. But I've always, it's like 1A and 1B kind of, because the Kings, I guess, will be 1B.
Right.
I've had season seats for the Kings forever and all that good stuff.
Oh, so. When they were at the Forum.
At the Forum, yeah. Starting in the first year I had season tickets was 1983.
Whoa.
And I had them all the way up until about 4 or 5 years ago. So,
and then just too busy to keep up with them?
Yeah, it's almost impossible for me to get to that many games. And I'm not a huge fan of Staples Center. The one place I love to sit at Staples Center is they call them premium seats, which basically you can't buy just the Kings for season seats. You have to buy like every event there. That's how they make all their money. But they're the best seats there for hockey because the sight lines at Staples are not great. So anyway, I'm able to get those seats about 4 or 5 times a year. So I just go.
Oh, there you go. I actually love the Staples Center for hockey because cheap seats are still pretty good.
This is true.
I found. Now, StubHub, $40. I'm at center ice, pretty good, you know.
Yeah, it's not
pretty
too
good
bad.
Seats.
But it's still, you know, I'm spoiled because I was at the Forum, which you wouldn't think was a great hockey venue because it wasn't really built for hockey. But because it wasn't built for hockey, it had this crazy seating configuration. And my seats were about 4 rows off of the ice in the corner before they put up these stupid nets. And it was so high off of the ground, you were like above the glass. You could see everything perfectly. So like really some of the greatest.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
Yeah, that really is. I'm glad you said it. The stupid nets. That's what Columbus has given us for hockey. They couldn't teach their kids to duck the pucks coming, and now we have nets.
Well, that's what's being a hockey league run by a lawyer will do to you.
Oh, are you anti-Bettman?
No, I'm not anti-Bettman. I actually think he's done a pretty good job.
I think he saved the Penguins. He helped save the Penguins.
And he saved
Lemieux saved the Penguins, but he pushed that they're not moving.
Yeah, I mean, look, the league has grown tremendously since he's been there, so clearly he must be doing something right. But yeah, the whole net thing is kind of a bummer. But I guess it was going to happen eventually, unfortunately. So now you can't sit in the corner anymore because it's like watching a game in prison.
Right. It makes you have to be between the blues.
And the best seats to watch hockey are the corners because you have the entire rink is in front of you. You're not going back and forth. You don't miss anything. So I miss that, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Did you feel and so you gave up your season tickets, though, and then they won the cup.
Right. You know, the funny – yeah.
Did you feel a little – jinxed or not jinxed?
Well,
I don't know,
you know, the weird
be.
Thing about that was I was a very vocal critic of the Kings that year because I heard horrible stories about Jeff Carter and Mike Richards.
I think we all did.
And I loved Shen and Simmons. And when they moved them, I'm like, what are they doing? These idiots. This is stupid. And, you know, I was on Twitter. Oh, the Kings are morons. What are they doing? And what are they? And the next thing you know, they win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, shows you what I know.
Well, as a Penguin fan, I felt the exact same thing. Just like, oh, these are my second favorite team, and now they gave up one of my favorite players, Simmons, who it was just the devil having to play him. I mean, now like he's in, you know, he's a Flyer now. It couldn't have been worse. But you know what? I've come to love those guys because now they're Kings in my mind.
Carter and Richards. Well, yeah, and one thing I will know, I become friendly with some people who are pretty close to the Kings, and they've all said that Carter like did a whole 180. As soon as he got here, he really did kind of get himself together, like got himself a good girlfriend and settled down, and you know he's a different guy. Because I know people who work for Columbus, and boy, the stories they told me were really not. He was not a good guy there at all.
Because he wanted to get out of Columbus, right?
Yeah, and so his attitude there was just terrible,
right.
And he didn't treat people very well there. And I was like, oh, this guy's coming to L.A. But now it's come, like I said, full circle.
Right.
Everybody I talked to said, no, he's super cool and down to earth and a nice guy. And
yeah, I wasn't as anti-Carter as I was just anti-Richards, because you know how he would just mess with Crosby and everything. He was just a typical Flyer guy. And now I have the utmost respect for him because he's taken the fourth line leadership and not complained and sulked and really just become a winner.
Yeah, I mean,
you
I
know what I mean?
Yeah, look.
You don't have to agree with me.
No, I agree. It's just, I mean, I guess in some ways his...
Loving old Flyers is hard.
Yes. Very hard. I kind of like the Flyers because they have a whole bunch of players in the Flyers that I actually kind of like.
Get out,
so
Brian. Get out.
I can't.
Scott, this interview's over.
Well, wait. Hold on. I can't hate them as much as I used to hate them. Let's put it to you that way.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just getting mellow about it too. I still hate them, but I don't want the bus to crash anymore.
See, I'm a weird. I'm a weird guy when it comes to hockey. I hate styles of teams and that stuff more than I hate. Like, for me, if the Flyers, because they're kind of more offensive now and kind of fun to watch. So I like, that's the kind of hockey I like.
Right.
I hate clutch and grab, boring, you know.
You hated the Devils.
Oh, yeah. I could not stand
them. We have a lot of fans out there who don't like, who don't think I give the Devils enough respect for their championships.
Well, I mean, look, if you look at those teams, they had some great players. And Scott Niedermeyer, who, you know, went from there to came here to Anaheim and won, and obviously was a huge, I knew he was good, but until he came here and I got to see him play a lot more, wow, that guy's a really good player.
Well, that was the same with me. I went up to the Hall of Fame to see Jágr, I thought, play one more. I didn't know I was even going to the Hall of Fame game. I just was in Toronto, and I'm like, well, Jágr's going to be in town with the Devils. I'm going to stay. It might be the last time I see Jágr live. I stayed, and they go, you're like, no, it's the Hall of Fame game. So then I got to see Shanahan get inducted, and Chelios, two of my all-time favorite players. And then they read off Niedermeyer's credits because he got inducted with them. Niedermeyer had a better resume than those two guys.
No, yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he was under the radar because Scott Stevens was the main guy.
Right.
And obviously, Brodeur
right.
and the style they played there. So he didn't get a lot of credit. He was kind of the third or fourth guy that you talk about there.
Right.
But when you talk to the people who were involved in that team, they said, no, Niedermeyer was probably the best player on that team.
And then you see him with the Ducks and just his skating. He's like a little bit of Paul Coffey and a little bit of just a little, obviously more rugged. I mean, the doctor
well,
didn't
don't,
play.
Coffey was, you know, Coffey wasn't, don't. You know, say Paul Coffey wasn't rugged. He was.
Well, I think everybody in the NHL is tough. I think everybody is 100% tougher.
Especially back in those eras.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But you know, I mean, the doctor really was up ice. I just mean defense. I don't mean like not going to the corners or not lay the butt. I just mean like the doctor, he was a forward who.
Oh, yeah.
He was just so good. He got back quick.
Yes.
You know, that's what kills me. I mean, and the guys who listen know, that's what kills me about Letang is Letang just makes so many mistakes. And now we got him back.
I'll say
in our conversation.
I like Letang. I saw him play junior, and he was very, very good in junior. There's something I really feel the Penguins have had, I guess, maybe hopefully not anymore. There's a coaching issue there because none of those guys really played up to their potential, I think, aside from maybe Crosby and Malkin. But even those two guys, when they were both playing together, when they were both healthy, it seemed like one or the other was not playing as well. Like if Crosby would go down, Malkin's game would go way up. If Malkin went down, Crosby's game would go way up. So there was an issue with coaching there. I think that team really, even though they played very well in the regular season and had some decent numbers, they very well underachieved. And then obviously just a disaster in the playoffs.
Well, did you think that, you thought Blausma had to go?
Yeah, I was there. Unfortunately, I was in Pittsburgh the year they lost those two games to Boston, getting blown out. So,
go ahead.
And so I was there, and I saw how Claude Julien had changed the system of what the Bruins did a little bit to really just completely shut down the Penguins. And the Penguins did nothing. They played their exact same style, even though they're getting killed. And I'm like, Bylsma, what are you doing? It's kind of the same thing that happened to the Kings in the 93 Stanley Cup championships. People think that Marty McSorley's stick, you know, when they got the penalty at the end of the game, they would have lost four games in a row in that series anyway because Jacques Demers completely changed the Canadian style, shut down the Kings. I remember they asked Melrose about three, after they'd lost three in a row, he said, well, you know, the Canadians have made some adjustments. Are you going to make any adjustments? No, this is what got us here, and we're going to stay the course. I was like, oh, no. They lost. And Bylsma, I think, did the same thing.
I have an even sadder story than that.
Oh, boy.
I flew in for game five. So I went to a Pirate game instead.
Oh.
I waited 5 years to see these. You know, I always had a back and forth with Bill Burr. Like, we have the two best teams in the East. We're going to be in the conference finals. Never happened except for that year. Flew home for game five with the great Bill Crawford, of Pittsburgh DJ, at the Pirate game.
No.
It was sad, sad, sad. As far as the Blausma, yeah, I mean, but my thing was they should have fired Blausma the year before, and then they could have got Lindy Ruff.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of speculation they were waiting to – they were going to give him another year because I'm going to forget now. Somebody's contract is up after year.
It's Babcock.
Babcock for the Red Wings. That's right. So there's a lot of speculation about that. And even this guy that they have now, I mean, he could be here gone in a year as well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they lost their – I think a lot of things – I wasn't anti-Ray as much as I was anti-Blasma, because I think Ray did a lot of good things. A lot of good things. But then he really slipped, and he slipped in the toughness level to a point where it was unacceptable.
Well, and guys, when they won the cup, they're third, and really this day and age, you have to have third and fourth lines if you're going to win. That's how the Kings won. The Kings have four lines.
Right.
And very few teams can match up to them. And they lost all their great third and fourth line guys. They have guys now that, like, who? Who is it? Who, what? What's going on here? So they haven't developed anybody or drafted anybody to play those sort of roles. And then they just kind of losing guys left and right, and they couldn't keep them. And you wonder why guys would want to leave, too. That was the other thing. Like, Talbot. Why would Talbot want to leave? You'd think he'd want to stay there, because he could have stayed there.
Well, he got a ridiculous – he was ridiculously overpaid by Philly.
Sure.
That's one guy that was ridiculous. I mean, that's why he's Benedict Arnold to
but
me.
If you
like when they were they hated Yager for signing with Philly, I'm like, but he had been to Europe. Like, that wasn't Talbot. Like, Talbot still had half a beer on the bar in Southside.
Yeah, yeah.
When he went to Philly. Like, what,
well, but I think if he thought that he had a realistic chance to win the cup, he would have stayed. I think a lot of those guys that left would have done the same thing. But nobody has stayed, because clearly there was something going on in that room there. And you hear, you know, from outside people saying that there's trouble in the room.
Well, I would
Pittsburgh.
Like to hear what you're – I would like to hear the rumor of that. But, I mean, Phil Bork left because the Rangers, and that was back when the Rangers were just as evil a rivalry when they broke Lemieux's sure. hand. They gave him too much money. At some point, these guys that are
look
third
at a guy,
and fourth liners, that there's too much money, you know?
Yeah, but they would still get a reasonable amount of money to stay in Pittsburgh or anywhere. I mean, look at Marian Gaborik. I mean, Marian Gaborik stayed with the Kings for way less money than he could have got anywhere else.
But he's made
a bunch of money.
He's made a lot more money than I think the Talbot move was a disgrace. I'm not saying that he should have done it. I'm just saying that was his one time to make. You know,
yeah, but if you
Gaborik tricked like three teams into giving him a lot of money.
But I think though a guy like Talbot, if
and I love Gaborik. I didn't mean tricked. Until this year, he's the guy that really impressed me the most.
Well, yeah, I mean he clearly got that team.
Okay, I'm sorry we got sidetracked though on Gaborik. I want to hear your. I want to hear what in the rooms.
Oh, in the room in Pittsburgh. Well, look, I'm not by no means an expert, but I'm lucky enough to have a lot of people that are into the hockey world that are big music fans.
Yes.
So I like, as soon as I know hockey music, I'm in.
Right.
I'm in. So, you know, I try not to get too close to the situation because it kind of ruins it. Like, you know, if you've met, you're a big fan of somebody and you finally meet them and you find they're kind of an asshole, it kind of ruins it for you.
Yes. And I found that the beauty of hockey is I've never met a hockey guy that I felt that way about.
No, they're all super nice. But
I'm not just trying to like say that.
No,
but,
you're right.
But literally, I've never met from Lemieux down, I've been in love with everyone I've met ever since.
Like, but I still try to not get too
sure,
close because I don't want to know too much. You know, I still want to be a fan.
Yeah.
But you hear things here and there, and definitely a lot of people who cover the sport and who are pretty knowledgeable have said there's definitely some issues in that room. And I think you kind of have seen that in the playoffs, where that team comes unglued in the playoffs. I think they really need a good veteran presence in there. And look, it also could have all been, and I hate to, you know, hate on Biles, but he's a good coach.
And a good guy.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
But then again, good guys sometimes don't make good coaches because
right.
you get a little.
Well, I firmly believe if Therrien would have stuck it out, they would have won a couple more cups.
Maybe. I mean,
you know, not stuck it out. I think if Lindy Ruff would have came in 2 years ago. Like, after the Flyer debacle, someone's head should have rolled that year.
Sure. Oh, I agree.
You know.
How they –
Or Laviolette. An offensive coach. I don't mean you have to play the trap or be defensive-minded and no one's allowed to shoot unless everyone touches the – I mean, but like an up-tempo guy that gets the respect of the players.
Well, I mean, Babcock would be the perfect guy because he kind of is both ways there more or less. But it also has a lot to do with the assistant coaches. You look at the Kings with Daryl Sutter. I mean – who would have thought Daryl Sutter would be this genius coach? But he's got great assistants there who
right.
know what they're doing. And that's, I think, the problem that Bylsma had. I just don't think he had a really great XO guy there who could take that role of adjusting your system when you had to.
Yeah, I didn't like the Tony Granato hire as the assistant coach. And I mean, and they haven't really won since he's been an assistant coach.
Yeah.
None of the teams he's coached have ever really done well. He was a great American hockey player, but...
Well,
you know,
yeah, I guess you're right. I mean,
he flubbed out in Colorado. He flamed out in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough to say. It also just depends on how the coach gets along with the players and how the players get along. I mean, that's the whole thing with the Kings. You talk to everybody. It's like every single person on that team are friends with everybody else. They hang around. They're good friends. There's no cancer on that team.
No.
And not that there's a cancer on the Penguins team. I just don't know that there's enough really good guys there.
Well, my theory is not my theory. Well, I guess you can say my theory. I didn't like James Neal. I thought James Neal was a cancer. I thought he was the Jason Giambi to the Yankees. I just thought, like, he came in.
Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. He I thought he came in and he acted like he won something, but he never did.
Could be.
I had this conversation 2 nights ago with somebody else who a Penguin fan. He's still from Pittsburgh, and I said James Neal was a fake tough guy. And he said that no one in Pittsburgh likes fake tough guys.
Sure.
He was a slash in the back of the skate, kind of cheap shot to kind of not really go in there and body check you in the corner.
Matt Cook as well. It was.
Yeah, well,
that
I
times
was
100.
Well, Cook was just cheap, and I wish the Cook wasn't in the league. I you can take the 10 rats out, and I'd say goodbye. I don't like that in the sport.
I agree.
And now come full circle, and now we got Steve Downey this year.
Yeah,
which is like I would have rather. I mean, I didn't want him forever, but then you look at the Penguins, like they actually need someone like that now because they got so soft.
Yeah, they need a little bit of grit there, but you have to play within the rules of the league. And a guy like Cook, I think, you know, a lot of those guys. I'm not a big fan of Steve Ott, for example.
No, I don't think he's a winner either.
But everybody says though, off the ice, he's great. He's like a really good guy, and then on the ice, he just kind of loses a little bit. But I don't know that he goes over the line as much. I mean, I'm kind of go back and forth.
No, I would never throw Ott in the Steve Downey, Matt Cook, Rafi Torres. I'll throw in that.
Oh yeah,
When you just go out to injure
bad guys,
people,
yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, Ott is just from the Craig Berube school of the stupid penalty. That's a whole different.
Well, he's a sandpaper guy. He likes to get under your skin, and he's always talking. And you know, he's the guy that you if he's on the opposing team, you'll love to hate him.
Right. Yeah. And that's totally different. But I just thought Ott was always overvalued at the deadline. I just think he's always overvalued. Like,
yeah, but I think apparently he's a good room guy. He's a good guy in the dressing room, and that kind of gives his stock a little bit higher up there. So that's what people say.
What do you think? I don't know. This is a big year for the Penguins. Like, who knows what's really going to happen?
Well, the East is horrible. So really anything can happen in the East. I mean, all the teams in the West. I think the top six teams in the West are better than any team in the East. The Bruins are still the class of the East, but they're getting a little older. They lost to Ginla. You know, Chara's got a lot of miles on him, even though I love him. He's great. And really, you know, I mean, the Rangers got to the Stanley Cup Finals this year. I mean, the Rangers, on paper, are not the greatest team either.
No. Well, I think that the six best teams in the West all got better.
Yes.
This offseason. And the five or six top teams in the East all got worse.
Yes, absolutely.
And like 5 through 8 in the East all got a little better. Like Columbus got better. Florida wasn't in the top 8, but now they got better. Tampa Bay got better.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the West now, it's like an arms race. Everybody has two great centers now of the teams.
Except, I
would pick Colorado to be a top three team out West, but then they had to get rid of, I don't know if it was a salary cap.
They lost Stastny. Can't keep everybody on that team. And they have so many guys that kind of play the same role that it somewhat makes sense. You know, we'll have to see. I mean, Anaheim's going to be interesting because they got Kessler, and I'm not sure if that's a good fit for them, really. I know they had to do it, but I'm not so sure that that's a good fit, but they're still going to be very good.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, their top line is so good.
Yeah, but back to the Penguins in the East. Okay. I mean, really anything can happen in the East. So I mean, the Penguins probably has just as good a chance as anybody else to win if they stay healthy, and if their defense is decent. I think the D is quite very questionable at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have. I guess they got Ehrhoff for cheap, but I watched a lot of Buffalo games just because I like Rick Jeanneret. Yeah, Jeanneret.
By the way, the biggest hit, and I know I do a podcast as well with Sean Rourke, who runs NHL.com.
Oh,
we talk to
you're
hockey.
Kidding.
Yeah, we talk to athletes and hockey players. So we've interviewed a whole ton of guys. We talk about metal. We've interviewed a whole ton of hockey guys. By far, though, the biggest metalhead in the NHL is Drew Stafford.
Oh, wow.
Drew knows more. I think he knows more metal bands than I do. He's way into
well,
it.
Well, that, no, that's that's
high praise.
That's high praise.
But anyway.
I'm going to talk about that, though, in a couple of minutes. We'll talk a little bit more regular hockey because you know so much about regular hockey. Penguin, well, no, because then, like, the Kings did well. I mean, they only lost Mitchell.
Yeah.
The Kings are
and Reguer is going to take his spot. And Schultz, obviously, who also played very well.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Reguer.
Really?
I thought they played very well, though. Well, they played better when he was on the bench and Mitchell and those guys played.
Played better. I mean, those guys, I mean, I'll say because Mitchell and Green.
Yeah. Green came back when Reguer got hurt.
Yeah. And Green had a horrible regular season. I mean, he was a healthy scratch for most of it.
Right.
Just can't skate anymore. He's slow.
Yeah.
And Mitchell is a little slow, too.
Right.
But they were able to get around that in the playoffs. Again, kind of the way their system was. They were very puck possessed. Kings aren't really a fast team, but they've got a lot of guys who skate very well. And what the defense does very well is they get that puck out of the zone really,
right.
really quick. And they don't get caught on the back end. And then, you know, you pair Mitchell with a guy like Voinov or Martinez who can skate, then
right.
you're a little bit better off. But the Kings, I don't think, lost really anybody.
No, well, that was it. And they signed Gaborik, which was huge.
Amazing.
I mean, the Kings, in my opinion, have the four best lines in hockey. I mean, the four best forward
sure.
lines. Not the four best lines, but one through four, they got the best lines. They got arguably the best defenseman. I mean, Drew Doughty's amazing.
Phenomenal.
And quick.
Yeah, I mean, they're scary. You know? And the scary thing about them is that Martin Jones, the backup goaltender, is also phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to be a number one goaltender somewhere down,
that's what
down
confused
the road.
Me about Toronto's collapse, because I thought they'd get better with Bernier. I thought Bernier would go there.
He played well, but it was first time.
He couldn't really beat out Reimer, though.
First time him being in not starting goaltender.
Right.
And that team's a mess. I mean, that team's a mess. I don't know that anybody was going to be really good in there. I mean, I watched some of the Toronto games, and I thought Bernier played pretty well. But that team is just a mess. No, I don't think it's his fault, really.
I don't think it was. I thought he would. I mean, I thought he would beat out Reimer.
They went back and forth.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That team is a mess. It was weird because teams either after an epic collapse like what happened to them, they either like suck it up and become a better team, or they just go to shambles. I thought they were going to suck it up and become a better team. Obviously, I was wrong.
Yeah.
How about the enigma? Now San Jose ripped ripped Joe Thornton's captaincy off. Did you hear about that?
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, they said well, we'll compete for captains and alternate captains. Like, I think they have a pretty good coach, but you might as well just get rid of the coach or make a huge trade.
They're gonna do something.
How is that? How is taking Thornton's captaincy helping the team?
Well, they did the same thing to Marlowe a few years ago. I think there's a leadership problem there because they did the same thing to Marlowe. They stripped him of everything.
Right.
They stripped him to C, didn't even give him an A.
Right.
And they eventually earned the A back. So doing the same thing now to Thornton and my good buddy Dan Boyle, another big metalhead.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They shipped him out and he was probably the best guy in that room.
Now he's a Ranger.
Now he's a Ranger, yeah. So I think San Jose is going to – they're the one team that I think took two or three steps backwards. I wouldn't even put them in the top six in the West anymore.
Well, not with Chicago. Well, St. Louis, I know Hitchcock will ruin Stastny. He'll be done. I call him Captain Kangaroo. Well, he'll be dumb enough to play Backus the whole time.
He's a good guy.
And not let Stastny.
I actually know Ken Hitchcock, and he's a really good guy. He's a super smart.
I'm sure he is.
Guy.
I mean, when I say
I will say I really dislike the style that he coaches. Ooh. That's the style of play I don't like. St. Louis, Minnesota, all this
right.
slow. It's not clutch and grab necessarily anymore, but super defensive style. Ugh, can't stand it.
Exactly. Stastny will be the number two center there, and they still won't score enough.
Yeah.
You know? So I never –
But I don't think they have enough – I don't think that team has enough offense.
They
talent.
Never do when it matters. That's why people like St. Louis and Louis is like – but everyone plays defense in the playoffs.
Well,
so
you've
got to score clutch goals.
Well, exactly. And they just – I don't think they have enough guys on the team who are offensively gifted. I mean, quite honestly, they're all a bunch of 40, 50, 60-point guys.
Right.
And there's no – like the Kings have – Kopitar, and they've got, well, now I have Gaborik, and
yeah.
Toffoli is a superstar
yes.
in waiting as
oh,
well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many great players, and on the back end, you've got
Dusty.
Doughty, Voinov, and Martinez, who are great offensive defensemen.
Oh, yeah.
And St. Louis has Shattenkirk?
Yeah, I was just gonna say good. Shattenkirk. Yeah, you know, they have good defensemen, just not they're not puck moving guys that get the puck on net.
But I think Stastny will make them a better team, and if he can fit into that system, I mean, they need a guy like him because Stastny's a super talented. Goal
I mean,
it,
Chicago's a but you know, Chicago's. It's gonna be hard for them to get out of their division because I guess I never watched Minnesota, and I get crap on it here because I'm like they're in the time frame of okay, they played in the middle, so either I'm watching an East Coast game. Or I'm going to, and then the West Coast game. Like, they're always like a 5 o'clock
There's
start.
There's two reasons why you never want to watch a Minnesota game. Number one is they have the worst jerseys in the league.
Yeah.
Horrible to look at.
Yeah.
And number two, they play so boring. I watch Minnesota just start falling asleep.
That's what I say. But I think they're moving up, and you got Colorado's moving up. I mean, St. Louis has to fight to, you know, Chicago's not going anywhere in that division.
No, I mean, the Kings and Chicago, I think, is still the two best teams.
I thought that was
the
best hockey I'd ever seen played.
Yeah, that was the real Stanley Cup final.
That was amazing.
Was awesome. Yeah. I still can't believe the Kings won that series. I went to all the home games out here for that series,
right.
And game six, when the Kings lost, they had nothing left. I thought they're going to go back to Chicago and they're going to get blown out, and they won.
The leadership, I met Dustin Brown at the ESPYs. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. It was awesome.
Yep.
But I don't know if it's him or I'm sure Daryl Sutter. But there's leadership on that team that's just amazing. The fact that they came back from 3-0.
Sure. Well, like I said,
they beat the best teams the whole way through.
Everybody like, on that team. That no, absolutely not. And that in 2012, they kind of waltzed in. Everybody they played had injuries. They really didn't play anybody that was any good, quite honestly, in 2012. That was kind of the gates opened and everything worked out perfect
right.
for them. This year was completely different. That was a tough, tough row to hoe.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. There's no asterisk. I mean, you know, I mean, I think Bruce Boudreau is a -1. Like, I think if Anaheim had a better, I think if Anaheim had Lindy Ruff. See, I'm just a big Lindy Ruff guy.
Anaheim, I mean, they lost their top two goaltenders. You can't lose your top two goaltenders
and win in the playoffs. He started that controversy, though.
Well, there's no controversy. Theoretically, there's a controversy, but they all got hurt in the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter.
No, but like,
and Anderson was playing very, very well, and he got hurt.
But like 2 days before they started the playoffs, he changed his number one goaltender.
Yeah, but both of those guys had some injury issues. So, and Anderson played great, and then he got hurt. And then Hiller got hurt, so you're down to your third goaltender.
The kid from Pittsburgh.
Who's awesome.
Gibson, yeah, he's awesome.
He's going to be phenomenal, but they kind of threw him right into the fire. So you can't blame that on Boudreau. That's not his fault.
I've been watching hockey for almost 40 years. It's never good to change your goal. It's never good to start goaltender issues, which I didn't know. I thought Hiller was just healthy. He was coming back. I thought he was healthy. So maybe the rewrite history. But he was playing like he was healthy.
Yeah. I'm not going to completely disagree with you, but the bottom line is their goaltender, who was playing well, got hurt. So you can't completely blame him.
No, but I can blame him for I don't blame him for watching 100%, and I don't blame Ovechkin. I think that team was always undermanned.
In Washington? Well, I think the problem there was just decided to change their style to try to make them play defense. And
he tried to after
disaster.
They were like, it was going to be like, he knew the writing was on the wall.
But he took the most fun team to watch. That team before they made that change were the most fun team to watch. And, you know, who cares if they're winning games 6-5 or 7? It's like the Oilers did that back in the 80s.
Well, that
different game now, obviously. But, yeah, he went too far. There's a way to teach teams how to play defense without reinventing your entire system. I mean, look at the Kings. The Kings in the regular season last year played very defensively. Got to the playoffs, changed a lot. The reins were loosened, and these guys went out and played a little bit more offense. So you can retool your system, but what Boudreau did, and supposedly it came from management, McPhee and the management people said to change it. I don't know. But once you change that, completely change the system in midstream, I mean, you just can't do that.
It's like Blasma trying to be a hard ass.
Yeah.
You can't change all at one time. But my thing with the Capitals is always like, I mean, I love Ovechkin. People think, oh, the Capitals. Like, the Capitals are not a rival of the Penguins. They've always just been like the little brother.
And those games are some of the best games ever.
Oh, well, Penguins, the playoffs. Games? Yeah, I mean, like in the 90s and everything. But even today, they're fun to watch. I mean, I don't hate the Capitals. And I like Ovechkin. I love the yellow skates. I think he's exciting. Say he's the best player in hockey is ludicrous. He's not a center. You know, so he has exciting hits, but it takes him out of the play.
Sure.
I say all this because I love Ovechkin. He's fun. He's exciting for the league, but his teams were never that good. Like they had like four or five forwards that were good, and weak defense and mediocre goaltending. But
yeah.
The hype of NBC was like, oh, the Capitals. Yeah. It's like, and then they blame Ovechkin. Like Ovechkin didn't have a team to play with.
No, well, that was always their Achilles heel. They never had a good goaltender there. If they had a good goaltender there, it might have been a different story.
But they never have. I mean, they're like a. I mean, they got like four good. They have four forwards that could. They had four forwards that could play on the Blackhawks. Let's say.
I think this last year they did, but a couple of years ago they had quite a few good players on that team. I mean, Backstrom, I think, is one of the top players.
Oh yeah, I'm counting Backstrom. I'm counting Brooks Like. You know, and then after. Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of third and fourth line guys. You know, more than the top guys. But, you know, when they had Semin there, I mean, Semin's a good player, especially he fit in that team really well. You know, they had some good players there, but they were just a little thin on defense.
Very thin.
And, I mean, as much as I like Mike Green, he's a terrible defenseman.
Yeah.
I mean, you think the Tang doesn't get back to play. I mean, Mike Green.
Well, yeah. We'll wrap up the serious side of this. I love Letang when he was a rookie. And he made the minimum, and I love Letang at $4 million. I don't like at 8.6 or whatever he's making. Yeah. You gotta play a little defense. You can't make mistakes at that kind of money.
Well, he's gonna be healthy too. That's the other
and
problem.
You have to play the power play. Like he can't handle the power play at that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean he's gonna.
That's a lot of money in a salary cap. It's too. That's my thing. Letang at $4 million, please. Sign up. He can wear an assistant captain. A. Like that's the funny thing is I love Letang. That's how much I love Letang. I see everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes it like I hear you. You know what I mean?
He should be a better player than he is. I'm not going to disagree.
For the money, he can play like that for $3.5 million. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of guys that are overpaid in the league. That's for sure.
All right, now we can get to the. You're so knowledgeable. I can talk regular hockey forever. But why have the founder of Metal Blade in there and not talk a little metal?
Yes. Okay.
So who's the? You heard Drew Stafford. So who would be next on the all metal hockey? Because I know a lot of. I think most hockey fans are metal guys. That's the best thing about hockey arena. Not the best. Is you got any other sport they play like Beyonce? You go to a hockey game, it's all AC/DC or Zeppelin or a little Panama.
Well, pretty much anybody from Finland is a metalhead. Tony Ludman is a big metalhead. He's back in Finland now. Yanni Niinimo used to play in the league as a metalhead.
Yeah.
Right now, let's see. Definitely Stafford, Ben Scrivens, my buddy Ben Scrivens.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's our captain's favorite, Ben Scrivens, the professor. That's hilarious.
Dan Boyle, we mentioned earlier.
Dan Boyle,
is a big guy. I'm trying to think who else. A lot of the guys have coming on. I'm trying to think who else is playing now that's a huge hockey guy.
Well, Jagr's still playing.
Jagr's still playing. He's a metal guy. I have my favorite Metallica Jagr story.
Oh, well, please.
We'll get to it at some point.
Please.
I'm trying to think who else now. It's like any of the Finns. A lot of the Russians used to be in the metal, and they all went back to playing the KHL now. So.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, is Malkin a metal guy?
Nah, unfortunately, Malkin and Ovechkin, they're like most of the Kings players, they're in all this nonsense techno and
oh, you're
all that
kidding.
Stuff. Yeah,
oh,
it's
that
terrible.
Makes me cry. I have to burn my Malkin jersey.
Yeah.
I didn't even care.
Oh, Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka
Rask is a big metal guy.
Oh, right on.
I'm trying to remember who the other ones are now. I'm gonna forget because so many of them aren't playing now. But there's a few. But we're unearthing new guys left and right now.
You mean that Dustin Brown is into electronic music?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I don't think there's nobody on the Kings.
Thank God this is too high up for me to jump.
Yeah. If you go to the Kings games, because the players choose the music that they warm up to. If you go to a Kings game, it's the worst.
Oh, that is the worst. Oh, I didn't even know.
It's horrible. Yeah,
we're breaking news here. Oh, I thought it was just kind of like some
No.
Leftover from the Sparks.
All the players on every all the players on every team pick what they listen to. So, what they listen to for the warm-ups, so.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, sad.
Yeah, it really is sad but true.
So like when Dan Boyle was in San Jose, they would play horrible stuff. I go, dude, you're assistant captain. Don't you have any pull there? He's like, yeah, well, you know, the rest of the guys outvote me.
What? So, and obviously we're older. We've been around. But in the 80s, it was all like, it was probably most of the guys were in the medal in those days, right?
Probably. I mean, I don't really know.
I mean, I can't see Kevin Stevens and Tockett listening to electronica.
I mean, the Stars, the biggest older hockey team that was in the medal were the Dallas Stars. When they won the Cup, they actually celebrated at Dimebag and Vinny from Pantera's
house. Oh, yeah.
Where the alleged incident where the Stanley Cup got thrown in the pool supposedly dinged it was. But very disappointing. I was hanging out with Dimebag's ex-girlfriend, wife, Rita. And she told me that it actually didn't get hit. It went in the pool, but it didn't get dinged up. Then it was some other time it got dinged up. I was kind of bummed out because it's like the greatest story of all time. You know, Dallas Stars take the Cup to the Pantera's house, and they throw it out the window of the pool. It gets broken.
Well, it was in the bottom of Lemieux's pool after the first Stanley Cup.
Sure,
that's like a confirmed.
Chris Tamer was in.
Oh, Chris Tamer.
Yep.
One of my all time favorite Penguins.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you,
he knocked out the captain's favorite Bob Probert. Remember
yes.
that?
Oh yes.
Remember that? You feel lucky, punk. And Tamer hit him with a left.
Yeah,
he didn't see it coming.
Yager called him Tyson.
Oh, I think Yager was captain back then.
It was late, or maybe
Captain Ron was. Lemieux, it was definitely the non-Lemieux era. It was definitely in between. It was definitely either Captain Ron was, but maybe Captain Ron was in Carolina by then.
Might have been. I can't remember now. But I'll tell you my Yager story real quick. So
take your time.
Really good friends of mine work for Stan Fischler. Stan Fischler is the hockey maven, the super famous New York hockey
guy. Oh, absolutely.
Been around forever.
Starts rumors, unconfirmed rumors.
Yes, oh, all the time. So,
Crosby's, I think he just wrote today, Crosby's traded. I think he just
oh, he's getting old, so yeah. I'm not sure that he's all there. But anyway, they worked for him, and they were trying to get an interview with Yager, and Yager did not do any interviews. This is 1990, 91, something like that. He rarely did any interviews.
Wow, that's, yeah.
So they're trying to get an interview with him, and he just looked at everybody, he's like, couldn't speak English, didn't want to do any interviews. So they knew he was a big Metallica fan. So they called me up and said, hey, we're trying to get an interview with Yager. Can you get me some Metallica stuff to give him? I'm like, sure. So I got a whole bunch of autograph stuff. So they went in and, you know, they're trying to get the interview. He's like, yeah, whatever. And they finally said, what about Metallica? He's like, Metallica? So they got him all this Metallica stuff, did an interview with him, became really good friends with him. So then Fischler or somebody actually floated this idea in the hockey news, like you're saying, with these rumors about Yager was going to meet up with the Metallica guys. And I see this. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then my friends called. He said, yeah, he put that in there. Can you make this happen? I'm like, I don't know. Let me see. So around that time, the Metallica guys actually were starting to get into hockey. They actually had Shark Season tickets.
Oh, right, huh?
So they were recording the Reload albums at that point. So I called up Lars and said, hey, you know this guy, Jaromir Jagr, hockey player? He's like, yeah. I said, well, he wants to meet you guys. What do you think we can make an arrangement here to figure this out? He's like, yeah, sure. So Penguins played in San Jose, they had a day off the day before, arranged everything through, you know, my friends on the East Coast who knew Jagr, set everything up, got everything ready. So they fly in. I take a limo to go pick up Jagr. It's Jagr, Chris Tamer, and I'm trying to remember, there was one other guy that came. And we took the limo out to the studio. There, red carpet in the studio. As soon as we opened the door, he was like, "Ah, come on in!" And we were allowed in the control room while they're actually recording, which Metallica never ever does.
Oh yeah, that's Jaromir Jagr.
Yep. And then, but I couldn't figure out who was more excited, whether it was Jagr and the hockey guys or the Metallica guys, because Hetfield's running around, "Jagr's on my stick, Jagr's on my stick." And Bob Rock was producing it, and Bob Rock's from Vancouver, so he's a big hockey guy. His son, I think he was about 8 years old, favorite player was Jagr, so he's freaking out. So it was a real fun night. Became, you know, friendly with Jagr after that too. Super nice guy.
Oh yeah, he's a super dude. And he doesn't get enough credit for how great he is. He gets credit, but he's,
well, I think in the top 10 all time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, just his butt is in the top 10.
I mean, just even how good he is now at that advanced age. I mean, he's still in the top 20, 25 players in the league now, which is
oh, yeah.
Crazy.
He single-handedly, he went to New Jersey, he's supposed to like play part-time, and he's like their leading scorer, and they can't get him off the ice.
Put that team on his back.
It's the I mean, and the funny thing, you know, if it's sports, ifs and buts, and it didn't happen, but you take away two strikes in 3 years in Russia, and he'd be really chasing Gretzky.
Could be.
You know, that's what I mean. If I mean, like, really, he'd be in the mix.
He'd be up there. He'd be certainly in the top five all-time scorers.
Right. What metal guys in the inverse? What metal guys are big? You said Metallica. What metal guys besides?
All big hockey fans. Chris Barnes, the singer of Cannibal Corpse and 6 Feet Under, is a big hockey guy.
Oh, look at that.
Obviously, Metallica dudes are into it. Pantera guys. Vinny goes to games all the time. He used to have season tickets to the Dallas Stars. They actually Pantera did the Stars intro music, which they still use. Actually, they're really into it. I'm trying to think. There's not as many guys. Usually, metal guys and sports don't go together too well. But there's a few of them. Paul Mazurkiewicz, who's the drummer for Cannibal Corpse, he actually plays hockey. He's a really good player.
Oh, okay.
Ken Susie, who's the guitar player for Unearth, he played with Chris Drury back in high school up in the Northeast. So he's a big hockey guy.
Connecticut.
So, yep. Because he grew up in Boston, and so they all play together, still know each other. So there's quite a few of them out there. Johan Hägg, who's the singer from Amon Amarth, he's a big hockey guy from Sweden. So
oh, okay, yeah, I've heard of them from listening to that metal show.
yeah. So they're big. So there's a bunch.
Right on. Well, I guess it is true because I guess in our formative years when we're chasing girls and drinking in parking lots, they're playing hockey and being very good at it.
Yes, exactly.
They're in juniors scoring hat tricks when I'm.
the funny thing about the music guys too is that they're doing the same thing. They're playing guitar in their bedroom for a long time. It's only later on when they start getting into sports, like much later on. Like Jeff Hanneman, the late Jeff Hanneman from Slayer, became a huge hockey fan. When we started working with them, they had no idea what hockey was. They didn't care. But then as they got more popular and got bigger, he became a huge hockey fan. So
yeah, well, I think hockey is totally, especially like a Pantera's from the South, so like they're like hockey, and then all of a sudden they get a franchise, they get a team, and you see it up close, like wow, that's so much cooler than everything else. You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, and I got to mention my buddy Andy Williams from Every Time I Die. I'm wearing his clothing company shirt.
Oh, okay,
Violent,
yeah,
well, Violent Gentleman.
Yeah, it's a very violent gentleman. Is that a hockey league?
No, it's a fashion thing. It's a trend. It's a whole fashion company. All I do is make T-shirts. So they do is merch. It's George Peros from, I think he's still with the Montreal Canadiens, right?
Actually, he was released.
Oh.
Yeah, we just did a big thing on it on Puck Off that like six, like Biz Nasty.
Oh,
like,
Biz Nasty.
Like six known goons that are all on the free agent. Like
Biz Nasty got signed, though.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, somebody signed him. I'm trying to remember who it was, but he definitely got signed.
Oh, okay.
Because the only reason I know that was somebody did an ice bucket challenge with
him. Did you watch that one?
Well, I saw his, which was crazy.
Yeah.
But he did one with some reporter, and they broke the story after the ice bucket thing.
Oh, okay, well, great. I mean, he was an old Pittsburgher. I love or Penguin, not
that's
Pittsburgher,
right.
But yeah, I love
business. Start out with the Penguins.
Yeah, but no, like five or six guys, like Rupp, not signed.
Oh, wow.
They're just kind of phasing out. And that was one thing I thought. That, you know, Rupp is still, I mean, he was one of the, I couldn't believe the Penguins let him go. Because I thought he was really.
They need a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, fight the heavyweights, but just lean on people in the third period, you know. But so they do any kind of T-shirts.
They do a lot of hockey-related stuff. So if you go to their website, you'll see they have each team's colors, and they do these different shirts kind of variated with the team's colors.
Like, have you ever seen the Flyers win the cup?
Not any stuff like that, but they have like a whole line that calls Enforce. So it's like Enforce and then Anaheim, Enforce.
Oh, okay.
It's all, you know, manly yes. Violent stuff. But it's cool.
Well, George Peros, I mean, he's actually from Pittsburgh, a suburb of Pittsburgh. He's from Washington County.
Nice.
Yeah, he was the first person born ever in the Pittsburgh area to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow. And there's still more and more guys playing in the NHL now from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, now Brendan Sods, who is actually from Pittsburgh, won the cup. Bugsy, I like to get Bugsy back.
Yeah, why
that's not? That's my own personal like crusade. Bring back Bugsy. He'd be perfect on the third line.
Sure.
He'd have been perfect last year on Malkin's line at the end.
Well, they need third and fourth line guys on that
right.
team.
Right. George Parrish, though, how do you know George just from comedy shows?
I just know him from the merch company dudes.
Oh, okay.
He's sadly not a metalhead. The guys that run the merch company are huge metalheads. And obviously Andy Williams, Every Time I Die. Yeah. But Perilous is not into it. I said, is he into it? He's like, eh. He kind of is a little bit, but not really.
Well, please don't tell me he likes electronic music.
No. I think he's like more of the.
I've never had my dreams shattered when I've met my heroes, but I've had them shattered. Now I know what they listen to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, George.
We got to remember a lot of these guys are Canadian farm boys, so they grow up listening to either country or the techno stuff.
Well, I understand the country. I mean, I just don't get the techno. I mean, like, I'm not saying like it's my taste. I mean, my taste isn't the country either. But I understand you grew up on a farm. I understand the. I don't understand the.
You and me both, my friend.
But now, I guess not even so much though. Like the really hardcore stuff that I don't even really know. I'm gonna be the first to tell you. But I mean, these guys all like AC/DC and Led Zeppelin stuff, right?
I don't think they're gonna discount that stuff. But if they're gonna listen to something for enjoyment, okay. It's gonna be all this nonsense.
Like when they work out, I don't see.
Yeah, I guess
Paris listening to.
No, I don't think George is doing that, but some of these other guys are.
Yeah, totally. What's your favorite live game experience you've ever been to?
Hockey wise,
yeah. Yeah.
Ah, wow. That's.
Well, wait, what's your favorite concert you've ever been to?
Oh, that's impossible to say.
I guess you can't speak because you sign bands and then you have bands, yeah. Right? So it's a little technical.
I did see Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden is my favorite band. I did see Iron Maiden play at Hammersmith Odeon in 1984. Yeah. So that's probably up there. Hockey-wise, I've seen so many great. I'm a huge fan, so I've gone to World Junior tournaments. I've gone to the World Cup of hockey. I've seen a ton of Stanley Cup finals. I've gone to the Frozen Four.
Yes.
I've been to the Memorial Cup. I've been to everything. So it's kind of hard to really pick.
Was the World Cup of hockey? Wasn't that fun?
Amazing.
Was it amazing that I want them to bring. I want
they're supposed
them to bring that back.
Keep saying they're going to do it because I went to the last time they did it in 2006. I think it was. I can't remember now, but anyway.
Well, it was right before they did the Olympics.
Yeah. I think it was because I went to the Olympics in Salt Lake in 2002.
Yeah, I think they
had. So it must have been 2000, maybe it was 2004?
I honestly thought the World Cup ended in like 1998. But it went longer than that?
They did one other one, it was in Minnesota, Montreal, and Toronto.
With pros still?
All the pros, yeah. Okay. It was in September, before the season.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up. But I went to almost every game. So that was seeing, I have to say probably if I'm going to look at hockey moments, probably going to the gold medal game in Salt Lake.
2004. That's why Scott makes the big bucks.
2004. There we go.
our super producer, Scott. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. So 2004. So I went to all of those games, but maybe the 2002 gold medal game in Salt Lake might have been the best hockey experience
I've
been to. Because that was pretty special to be at that game. It's pretty awesome. And that arena in Salt Lake was pretty small. I think it's only like 10,000 people. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's not like a huge stadium. So that was pretty amazing.
Oh, in 2002, that was like Lemieux, Yzerman.
Mm-hmm.
That was like our generation heroes.
Exactly.
Heroes,
exactly.
Heroes. Yeah, that's kind of
so that was pretty
Sackic.
That was pretty awesome. Yep.
Yep.
So that was fun. And the U.S. had a lot of great players too. So
oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that was good. I was kind of rooting for the Canadians, even though the Canadian fans were annoying. But Lemieux was a captain.
Yeah. So. Well, that's just weird about like when we play with Sid. It was like, well, I was rooting for America, but I didn't want Sid to be disappointed. Like I didn't want Sid to come back in a funk.
Yeah.
So it was like, so he scored the game winning goal. I couldn't have went any better.
I was happy for him for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think of the amount of pressure to have like a whole nation. Like that's their deal.
And it was that game in particular, somebody said like 70% of the entire country of Canada was watching that game. 70%. That's
yeah.
Just insane.
Well, Fraser says that like in 72 when they played the Russians in the Russian
the Summit Series.
Yeah. The kids had off of school.
Really? Wow.
To watch the game. Imagine.
I'm trying to remember because I was definitely around them, but I can't remember that. I don't think we had school off here. This is California. This was a little early for the hockey.
Yeah. Well, especially 72. Yeah. I mean, that's early for, I mean, Pittsburgh. That's early for hockey in a lot of places. You know, well, what do you think? I'm pro World Cup. I'm anti Olympics.
I think that's a great tournament. I mean, in some ways, I actually kind of like the Olympics because it kind of makes the hockey world, because they've got to play a lot more games and a lot more crunched time. So there's always great games on every night.
Right.
So as a fan perspective, I actually love that. But I do understand that, you know, you hate to have somebody like poor Tavares went over there and got hurt. You hate to see that
Sid
stuff
got
happen.
Hurt.
Yeah. You hate to see that stuff happen. But I'm fine with it either way. It would be cool if they did what they used to do, which was the plan all along was Olympics every 4 years, and then every other year would be the World Cup. So you'd have every 2 years there'd be a tournament.
Right.
But I do like the World Cup because it starts in September, so it's early hockey. But you have the same issue there. Somebody gets hurt, you know, they're out for the whole season.
Well, but there, unless you really, really tear your knee off, you're going to make it back by the playoffs.
That's true. This is true.
You know, and the Olympics, I think the Olympics ruined about three or four teams. I mean, it definitely ruined the Islanders. Sid supposedly got hurt. What other Penguin got? Some other Penguin got dinged, and then Stamkos.
Martin didn't.
Paul Martin. Yeah, Paul Martin. Absolutely. And then Stamkos tried to come back too early.
Yeah.
You know. I think the argument, and now you're someone who's been everywhere and seen some great hockey. The argument that it's the best hockey is not true. I mean, maybe three games of the 45 were really good. The other 40 were like, they weren't that good.
Yeah, part of the problem with the Olympics is you're just throwing a whole bunch of guys together on a team. So you can't really get a real system going. And it's, you know, guys aren't familiar with each other. So, yeah, some of those games. I mean, the best games actually of this Olympics, the most fun to watch, were the Slovenia games. Those games were a blast. That team was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Andrei Kopitar.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the Kings had
like the Bad News Bears, and he was Kelly Leak.
Exactly. The Kings had, I think, 8 or 9 guys there, because you would have thought that would hurt them because they played an extra, you know, month of hockey almost, but didn't.
But they kind of had just the right amount of, like, they didn't have, you know, like the Penguins. Like, they had, Sid had to lead the whole world, had to lead Canada. Malkin was going to be executed if he didn't win.
And Bilesma, too. I mean, Bilesma had a horrible flame out, too.
Yeah, there. Shiro, they all took it on the chin, whereas, like, the Kings kind of, like, you know, Kopitar got to be a hero. You know, like it was more spread out, kind of like I mean, it didn't hurt Chicago. You know what? Who knows? You know, who knows? Chicago might have been. Oh, exactly. You know who it hurt was the Detroit Red Wings.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, you're anti Red Wings.
They kind of have morphed into this team. Well, first of all, they had a lot of guys on that team that I really don't like. Todd Bertuzzi, I cannot stand. How that guy's not in jail for what he did is beyond
the
me.
We just talked about horrible incidents last week, and that was the one I didn't get to.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst thing I've ever seen was that, probably.
Okay, worse than Dale Hunter, Pierre Turgeon.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff. I mean, Bobby Clark broke. Who did he broke? The
Russian guy. I can't say. The Frazier knows it.
Yeah.
there's a lot of stuff, captain.
But I think just from behind, cowardly, unprovoked thing, it ruined a guy's life and career.
Right.
Was Bertuzzi. That's the worst thing I've ever seen, actually.
Yeah. It's bad when you talk. It just makes you sick. That's what we were talking about. Things that make you tear, kind of cry. You know, like Timo Solani, like the great stuff in hockey. And then we brought like the stuff that makes you sick to your stomach. Like, you're right. That was
bad. So I can't stand him. And there's a few other guys on that team I don't like.
So who's your favorite? Not, let's say favorite Penguin and favorite non-Penguin.
Of all time, or
but we can do both.
I mean, Lemieux is my favorite player.
Yeah,
of all
I mean
time.
That almost doesn't count. I mean,
I think that, and even Gretzky said this. I think if Lemieux would have stayed healthy, he would have broken. And Gretzky said if Lemieux was healthy, his whole career would have broken all my records.
I don't disagree with that, but I think Lemieux needed a little more help at the beginning to break it. Even though he still had ridiculous numbers, it wore him out.
It didn't really matter who you put. I mean, some of those guys you play with would probably score 5 goals anywhere else, and they score 50 with him. It's just all you do is stand in front of the net.
I know, but think about like how many if he like you see if he played with Paul Coffey the whole time.
Sure.
How much easier? How much easier he'd just the or his assists. You know what I mean? Just he would have had 200 points every season. You know, like Gretzky got to do.
Yeah, but Lemieux's definitely my favorite player of all time for sure.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean I didn't even count. I mean, I guess he is a player. He's like he's a god. That's like picking your favorite religion of all time.
Yeah,
who's your favorite born of natural birth?
Second to him would definitely be Jager.
Yeah, and that's it's mine too because that's the thing is like I actually used to have a Jager doll on my Christmas tree. Like or the star would be a fan bought it for me, and I kept it on top of like you put baby Jesus, and I had it there for forever. Even when he went to Europe and everything, and then when he came back as a Flyer, I didn't put him on the tree, but he was in the closet the year that we lost to the Flyers in the playoffs.
Ah.
And I actually thought because I didn't throw him out and just totally break the
it's all your
it's
fault
all my fault
it's all not, your
it's
fault
not, it's not Talbot it's who would be your who's your favorite Penguin now.
Favorite Penguin now. You know, I go back and forth between Malkin and Crosby. Probably Malkin a little bit more, maybe. I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah. Maybe it's our metal, your metal background. Malkin to me has the witch gene, like Fedorov had, that Lemieux had, that Jager. He just does stuff that people don't do. It's just kind of more exciting, just a little bit more exciting. And I love how Malkin, if someone hits him, he'd turn around and slash him in the face. like Malkin's just, he's just more of a, I don't want to say a man because Sid's a great captain. But I don't know, something about Malkin, it's just he's more like a. He's just
well, he can. I mean, Sid is incredibly smart, and like he'll throw the puck somewhere where he knows somebody will be. Like,
right.
how did he know that guy's going to be there?
Right.
Malkin's a little bit more beastie. Like he like
that's
just
what
take
I mean.
A puck from one and just run through about eight guys. And
right.
Score, so
and just his temper is always good. He should have been suspended for Game 7. I mean, he started a war.
Probably. Yeah. he's a big dude. You know, that's the thing. People. He's what 6'3", 230 or something. I mean, he's like Ovechkin.
Well, he's like one. He's like 205. He just looks bigger. He's strong. They say he's like a snake. His workouts are crazy over in Russia. Yeah, I'm a Malkin guy when it comes down. I'm not a Malkin apologist, but I'm a Malkin guy.
What, a Malkin apologist?
There's a lot of Malkin apologists in Pittsburgh. Like you know, like it's weird. Pittsburgh is the city. Half the people don't care, but then there's 25% of the people that like they're Sid guys, and then they like not attack Malkin, but then there's like 20%, you know what I mean? They're like Malkin guys and find faults in Sid. I love them both pretty much equally, but I just kind of something in my heart just something. Either Malkin's like the bad guy that or whatever, not the bad. I mean, like the motorcycle.
I know what
guy,
you're saying.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
I just kind of like Malkin a little more. Well,
by the way, Pittsburgh has the best music. In game of any team in the league, metal wise,
and you would know.
And my
not just a homer.
And my buddy who does the music there is a huge metalhead. So hence why, and a couple of guys who work for the Penguins are big metalheads. So that was really cool. I found that out. Well, I knew the guy who was doing the music there for a long time was a metal guy because he works at a label called Willowtip. That's a smaller indie metal label. So I've known him for a long time, but I didn't know there were other guys in Pittsburgh. I went to a game, was it last year? Year before last. And I just tweeted out, hey, I'm in Pittsburgh, excited to go to the at Penguins game. Next thing I know, the Penguins are tweeting me back. Hey, we're excited to have you. I'm like, what the heck happened here? So it turns out the guys who do all the game stuff are all big metal guys.
Oh, that's great. Well, cool. Yeah, that's what I was raised on. I thought every hockey arena was like that.
No.
I thought Thunderstruck was played five times at every hockey
arena. I mean, every arena plays some of it, but
yeah.
Washington, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, Dallas, and there's one more. It's pretty much exclusively metal. New Jersey. New Jersey is a good one.
I would think like the Canada teams. No?
Not so much.
Wow.
Not so much. I mean,
when I was in Toronto, they played like pretty much all...
Yeah, I mean, Toronto, New York, L.A., they're big cities, so they're kind of playing, you know, kind of making everybody happy more or less. And the Western teams, you would think like Edmonton's a big metal town. Metal is huge up there. But they play some stuff, but not as much as they should, in my opinion.
Right. And then who's your favorite, who's non-Penguin?
Oh, you're going to hate me.
Oh, you're going to say Mark Messier?
Yep. No. Oh, of all time?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, favorite non-Penguin of all time? Wow, that's a tough one. Probably Gretzky, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I was lucky enough to have season tickets here for the whole time he played here, and it was just – he was amazing to watch.
Right on.
But I kind of hated him when he played at Edmonton, so it's hard, tough for me to say that now, but he's phenomenal. But you're going to hate who my favorite current player non-Penguins is. Actually, my favorite player in the NHL.
What, are you going to say Scott Hartnell? I love Scott Hartnell.
I actually like Scott Hartnell.
Yeah, no, I mean, I said on air many times, and I've in print, I'd give him a piggyback ride across the turnpike if he wants to play for the Penguins. Like, if he played on the Penguins the last 5 years,
Won a cup.
I love Scott Hartnell.
No, my favorite player now is Ovechkin.
Oh, I love Ovechkin.
Love Ovechkin.
The I love the yellow skates are coming. Like, I just love his intensity. He's exciting. I love watching him play. I just don't think he's the best player. I just don't think he's the best player in hockey.
I completely dissed and forgot earlier. We're talking about hockey players who are big metal guys. My good friend who's been on our show 4 times, Mike McKenna, who's a goaltender. Right now he's in the Arizona organization, but he was with Columbus last year, played with St. Louis. But he was in Tampa, and the one game, I don't know if you remember, but one time, I think it must have been his 50th goal of the season or something, but Ovechkin scored this amazing goal in Tampa. I was actually there, and he put the stick down and was warming
his hand.
That was my buddy Mike McKenna was the goaltender that night.
That's good.
A huge, huge metalhead, too.
You know who I would think? He's on my mind for some reason because we made a list of our 20 favorite players that weren't Penguins that you just liked. It didn't have to be the best, but I swear he must be a metalhead. Is Al Iafrady?
Oh, Iafrady was a huge metalhead. Oh my god!
I knew it. For some reason, I just knew. You could just see him driving the hot rod, just cranking the trooper. Driving around D.C.
He was one of the biggest of all time, actually.
Don't tell me Iafrady listens to...
I never got to meet him, but some of the bands I know hung out with him a few times. And yeah, he's a massive metalhead.
Yeah, I would think
you're
so.
Right.
He's been on my mind for a couple weeks. Like his shot from the point.
Not that he was that big of a metalhead, but he was into it kind of, but a super nice guy. It was Ken Baumgartner. He used to play for the Kings.
Yeah, he's been around.
We actually did a single back in the day with him. We had him record a cover of Motorhead's Bomber with a bunch of metal guys. We did it for charity for fun.
Right.
But he was a great guy, super cool guy.
Right on. Well, Brian, this has been an absolute joy and pleasure. I mean, what can you say?
Dude, thanks.
Please
for
come
having
back
me.
Anytime.
Anytime. I'll come talk hockey ad nauseum anytime, as you can tell.
Yeah. Well, what's great is in the offseason, too, is you really know your stuff. In the in season, more of the comics, you know, are on the road and they don't watch like me like every single game. So I think you know more than I do.
I'm insane. I'm a huge fan. I've always been a big fan. I used to trade tapes with people before the satellites came. The first house I bought, I had to buy a house that had a satellite dish in it just so I could watch all the hockey games. So I watched everything too.
This is fantastic. And we wanted to have you back, but just the early season. Who do you think who's looking good this year to you?
Well, you know, it's tough.
We're definitely going to have you back if I have to send an Uber car to pick you up.
Yeah, no problem. Well, luckily, I don't live too far from
I know, exactly. Tape, this is so. The best.
You got to say Chicago and the Kings, really.
Exactly.
I mean, they're still the two best.
Yeah.
But Anaheim's still going to be good. Colorado's going to be good. The trendy pick now is Dallas, who I think will be very, very good,
and
too.
They got the guy from Ottawa.
Yep. I mean, they probably have
Spezza.
Between Spezza.
That's what I mean. They got two centers now, too.
Yep.
Everyone's going for two centers.
Your boy Lindy Ruff is there, you know?
I mean, and I'll say official goodbye in a second, because here's my thing on Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff, he'll take your team. He'll beat you both ways. Like, Buffalo, how are they good all the time?
Yeah,
he leaves, it's a carnival. Like, right? It's a car. He left it to bring in Johns. It's like they're a carnival act.
Yeah, yeah.
When he left, he goes to Dallas instantly, and they scared the hell out of the Ducks.
Mm-hmm. That was a tough series.
Yeah. I mean, Lindy Ruff.
There you go.
I just can't believe he should have been a Penguin.
And I mean, he's got the greatest last name, too, Ruff.
Yeah, Lindy Ruff. And you see him when he was used to be a player?
Oh, yeah. He played for the Kings, and I used to see him all the time. I was like,
played
for the Kings for like a minute.
Oh, okay.
like everybody did back then.
The whole league was like that, though. Unless you were like a top three guy,
mm-hmm.
you're always trade around. But it's totally a pleasure. So it was so great to meet you at the show. Wasn't that fun?
Oh, that show was awesome.
And thanks for dinner.
Yeah, no problem, man. Late dinner.
Anything you want to plug? Just your Metal Blade Records. What new band do you think is just like out there that you should?
There's a lot of good stuff out there. We have this band. The record's not coming out yet, but I'm super high on them. The record's going to be out in January, but in October the first single is going to be out. It's a band called Visigoth. Visigoth. Old school metal, kind of Iron Maiden meets Judas Priest.
That's stuff. Now you're talking.
Young kids doing it. It's amazing. But you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Slagle. You can go Instagram at Brian Slagle. Go to metalblade.com, and that's all the information on all the bands that we have coming out and what they're doing.
That's awesome. And thank you literally for everything. Yeah. This man brought Metallica to the world. What more do you? I mean, other than bringing Lemieux into the world, I don't know what.
That was a good.
I know what more you can do.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The great Brian Slagle. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, and check out Metal Blade Records and Visigoth. The Captain will be back next week. Hopefully, he's winning big in Vegas. I will be big show December. Geez, September 9th. Inside Jokes will be the first insensitivity training show. And then I'm headlining the new Purple Onion, which is now called Docs in San Francisco. I think September 25th or 26th, whatever that Saturday is. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Puck Off. All the great fans, thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.